Okay, 2:15. Let's kick off. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to MMS. And welcome to the show. And welcome to the session. The goal of this session is, simply put, how to make your life simple, easy, so that you can spend more time with your family, right? Let's spend less time in the data center. And how Cisco UCS can help you, and with, combined with System Center, how you can realize that dream. We made it so simple, even the speakers are self-explanatory. I'm Jason Shah, and this is Chakri Awala. Just kidding. I'm Chakri Awala. I'm the product manager, and Jason Shah with me. He's my technical marketing counterpart. So let's kick it off. Question there?
A little bit, yeah. Is that better?
Yeah. Okay, wonderful. So we have a content-rich session put together for you. Hour and 15 minutes, we're going to cover a lot of ground, and we try to strike the balance between going too much into the weeds versus going too high level so that we can satisfy most of you. But at any point in time, you have questions, please stop and ask. And we also have all the things that we are talking about and the demos that we're going to show today are available at the booth, at the Cisco booth. Please stop by for any in-depth discussion, right?
But yep, we've got three demos, and we are going to move pretty quickly. So I definitely encourage you to come back. And you know, if there's anything you want to see in more detail, come visit us in back in the booth, and I'm happy to run through anything that you see today or have any further discussions. How many folks do we have in the room that use UCS or administer UCS? Awesome.
Great.
How about folks that use PowerShell?
Oh,
excellent.
Great. Super. Excellent. Okay, so we're going to love the show. So we quickly run through, for those new to UCS, or as a refresher to what's happening in the market space. Just want to run through quickly through the what's happening over the last 1 year. Cisco UCS is experiencing tremendous growth, explosive growth in the market space, thanks to our partners, thanks to our customers. Some of the things that you can see, we are number three in the x86 market space in the blades worldwide, and number two in US. We have since I put the slide to today, already the number of unique customers crossed over 12,000. So my marketing person called and said, hey, you need to change the number. So over to 12,000 now. So just an example. And various industry awards and things like that, right? So what is fueling this growth? What is behind it? Simply put, it is the architecture and the thought that went into putting together UCS. Instead of slapping together, say, your legacy systems, putting it together and slapping a management layer around it and say, me too, I'm also converged infrastructure. That doesn't work with Cisco. We went back and said, how can we simplify our customer life? How can we make sure that the integration reduces the need for expensive and time-consuming service needs so that you can quick to address the needs of your business units, right? Number two, the architecture should meet the simplicity you're trying to achieve. You try to achieve the same goal with everything you have, you're not going to achieve that. Like Einstein said once, right? What is insanity? Trying to do the same thing over and over again and expecting different result. That's not this, right? We went back, drawing board, do it ground up. So how are we achieving in the architecture, the simplicity that we talked about? Jason?
Yeah, we'll talk about the hardware. These are actually the hardware components of UCS. So UCS is an x86 platform. It's a converged infrastructure. And most importantly, we've got a centralized management model. We thought about management in this platform long before we actually had our hardware available. So at the top of the solution, we've got the fabric interconnects with our embedded manager, UCS manager, and all the components below could be rack mount servers, could be blades, all falling under UCS topology. All these components, all the hardware components, are what you'll see monitored in System Center Operations Manager. And using our XML API, these are the components ultimately that you can orchestrate against using 2012 Orchestrator and/or PowerShell.
It's a true converged architecture. When we say converged, true converged architecture. When you buy Cisco UCS, what you get? Sheet metal. And I'm not saying it lightly. You literally get sheet metal because the typical non-converged architectures, when they're put together as a converged architecture, you still have that scent left behind. Every blade that you buy, you'll have a MAC address on them or worldwide port names and number of NICs, number of SAN cards. Everything is pre-configured. It's static. How can you get away from that? With this one, nothing is pre-configured. Nothing is there on it to say this blade is different from this blade. Every blade is the same. It's like a disk drive in a disk unit. You can pull and plug and replace with any other disk drive in that. There's nothing static on it, right? Same thing.
Nothing. Set of stateless resources.
Completely stateless. What we did, we extracted everything that goes to make it truly stateless. We extracted everything that goes on a blade, like MAC address, boot policies, flash, firmware versions of on the I/O cards, BIOS versions, boot order.
Yep. Ultimately, all the identities and the settings that you need to assemble in order to build that bare metal server before you can deploy your OS and the applications. What we do with our service profile is a software construct in our system that you apply to any blade and any chassis when you need to ultimately program that blade into what's needed. Instantiate NICs and HBAs, adjust firmware levels, adjust BIOS settings, and ultimately all the settings that you see here.
So it allows us to do a couple of things. Number one, you can move service profile, and the blade moves with it. In the sense, the virtual identity moves with it. So a blade A will behave as a blade B when the service profile moves. And number two, we can programmatically control it. That's the key point here. Programmatic control over hardware, never done before. We achieved that with Cisco UCS, right? And so when service profile is put on a blade, that's when the sheet metal becomes a true server. Like it's like breathing soul into a body. How can we achieve that? How do we give this power exposed to the user community, right? Comes the Cisco UCS Manager. Cisco UCS Manager is the interface that you to talk to Cisco UCS as a at the domain level, right? And it controls everything that is in Cisco UCS. What I mean by that, chassis, blades, power supplies, BIOS versions, software constructs, physical constructs, everything that is in UCS is exposed through Cisco UCS Manager and through the XML API. And it also gives the power to integrate into your existing infrastructure. If you have System Center already running in your environment and you need to plug in Cisco UCS into it, yes, go ahead. You have the XML API given to you on Cisco UCS. It gives you pre-configured, pre-engineered management packs and integration packs and awesome power tool to manage your environment with UCS Manager, right? So we'll see more about these in the next, in the demo.
Certainly in the demo. So certainly the big takeaways here are the fact that management is centralized and you go to one place to configure all of this infrastructure, and that's UCS Manager and ultimately our XML API.
Right, and that's a key point, though. So something that I would like to emphasize is the management unit, the module that comes with the UCS, is a one blade, 180 blades. One chassis or 40 chassis is only one. And it is already built into the Fabric Interconnect. You're not buying management modules as you grow with the number of chassis you have. So the question comes, where is the demarcation? In the sense, what is UCS Manager does and what it doesn't do? I want to make that clear before we jump into System Center. We manage what we manage best, and we leave the rest to the experts to manage that. What I mean by that is, yes, we have very good UCS Manager and very good XML API to manage Fabric, chassis, servers, adapters, virtual I/O, and the software constructs like configuration, fault management, monitoring, service profiles, so on and so forth. But what we don't do is we don't deploy operating systems. We don't deploy patches. We don't do orchestration. We don't do, firewalls, management of firewalls, routers, all these things, because there is someone who can do that in a much better fashion, System Center. So we leave that to System Center. But when we bring these two together, you get the power of System Center combined with the power of XML API from UCS Manager.
When you saw that central view of UCS Manager on the previous slide, that's we've designed the system to be driven by the software layers that you already have in your data center managing infrastructure above.
So let me pause quick. And so far, you're with me? As a overview of UCS, any questions before we... If you ask questions, you get T-shirts. I'm just hint.
Okay. At the end.
Okay. So let's quickly jump into what Cisco has done in the last 1 year to bring this power to user community through the management integration with System Center. We talked about UCS Manager, what it does. It provides the end-to-end management of UCS platform, need for external management server. We all know what System Center does. I don't have to repeat that, right? So when you bring these two together, what you get is a single pane of glass management across your entire UCS domain, across fault management, alerts, orchestration, and CLI-based management. Everything is available to you to manage. Say you have a stack starting with a self-service portal all the way down to managing your physical or virtual infrastructure. You need to provision on the fly. If a physical blade, it can be done programmatically. You are not dispatching a person to actually rack the cable, put the cables in and rack it up and create VLANs, vSANs, and all that stuff. That can be done programmatically. Pre-configure in your service profile and you're done, right? So we'll see that, how that happens. But that's the power we bring in by integrating these two together. So what integrations are available today with 2012? We have Management Pack for Operations Manager that is available. You can see in the demo, and also you could be, you're welcome to stop by at the booth. We can take you on an in-depth journey on that. And Orchestrator, Integration Pack available for Orchestrator. And in the last 6 months, what we did was actually we created a comprehensive infrastructure management with the PowerShell. We're seeing that community growing more and more around PowerShell, and we thought, why not expose the same power through the scripting engine? And we have close to 1,400 commandlets. We talk more about it, but combine all this together, you see a single pane of glass. Whichever way you want to interact with UCS, it's available to you. A quick, before we jump into demo, I want to take just 1 second to quickly highlight things that we do with SCOM Management Pack, right? Monitoring alerts, faults, chassis, blades, fabric, interconnects, IO, power supplies, all given. That's you expect from the Management Pack. Nothing new there. But what we do here is the two things that I want to highlight is the information that you get out of the Management Pack is reliable in the sense, yep. There is a way to get this information out of the hardware elements, right? There is SNMP and there is other ways. What we do here is we bypass all that. We know exactly the truth lives in UCS Manager. UCS Manager is a single entity that holds the information about every element in UCS. We directly go to the source of truth through XML API. We pull that out and display it to you in the graphical view, number one. Number two, the most important one is one blade, two blade, 180 blades. One chassis, two chassis, 40 chassis. You configure Management Pack just once. And it talks to the fabric interconnect. One connection to the entire UCS domain. That's powerful. You can be replacing blades. You can be moving the blades around. But you do not touch the Management Pack again in the configuration. You get the same information, right? Hardware view. I'll quickly jump through it. And not only hardware elements, all the logical elements that you create, organizations, service profiles, users, everything is also provided to you in the logical view. And let's quickly jump to the demo. So I'm trying to conserve as much time as possible spending on the slides so that we can give more time to the real meat of the session.
Great. So again, these demos have a lot of information in them. We're going to run through them very quickly. So if there's anything that you want more detail on, we definitely encourage you to come to the booth and we can walk you through all of these in more detail. So great. So here is our System Center Operations Manager 2012 interface. We're going to talk about a few things. One, the installation of the Management Pack. We're going to go through the views that you saw earlier, the hardware inventory view, the service profile view, the alert view. We'll talk a little bit about a bidirectional communication that we have where you can actually acknowledge faults in System Center, actually go back and acknowledge the fault back in UCS Manager. So the first point here is we'll go down. The Management Pack is delivered in a single MSI. It's fairly small, lightweight. It's a very automated install, very easy to do. And again, there's three main steps to configure Operations Manager to monitor UCS domain, and that's first using our add monitoring wizard. that we have under the template. And really what you're defining here is a friendly name for your UCS instance that you're going to monitor. You're defining things like the IP address for UCS Manager that the management pack will connect to. And you're defining whether or not you're using HTTP or HTTPS in that transport, as you see here. Just a few quick options. The last two steps are done on the administration page. And you're defining, one, the account that you're going to use for the management pack to go and talk to the XML API. You can use simple authentication, and then ultimately an account that has privileges to view faults, which could actually be a read-only account. The third piece is actually creating the profile, which brings together the IP address that you're pointing to, the user account that you're referencing, and ultimately defines the instance in Operations Manager that you'll see for that UCS system. And again, as mentioned before, once you configure this one instance with these three steps, you're monitoring an entire UCS domain with that one configuration that you've set up. If you add more chassis, add more blades to that UCS instance, you don't have to come back and touch anything on the configuration. Okay, we'll go back to monitoring, and we can actually see the instance that we defined called partner.
And please feel to stop, ask questions anytime.
Now, what I'm going to do here is we're going to go into the UCS system that we're monitoring, and we're going to cause a fault to be raised so that we can see that fault propagate back to System Center Operations Manager. In this example, I've got some service profiles on the left-hand side, one called Microsoft underscore Demo 3. The sole, if you will, with all the service definition that you apply to a blade, what we're going to do is take this service profile and assign it to a blade that's already in use, raising a major fault which will propagate back to System Center. So partner, again, is the name of the UCS instance that we're monitoring. And we'll go over to the change service profile association. Normally, the service profile, again, is what we're going to program the hardware with. So this has definitions of your network, your storage access, your settings and such. There's our config failure. And here's the actual fault that we raised. We've got a major fault, as seen here. We've got a bunch of information about the fault ID, a fault code, a description of the fault. And again, all this information lives in UCS Manager and is the same information that you will see shown in Operations Manager a little further in this demo. There's our fault creation time.
Not only you wouldn't do, but for the demo purposes, we are forcing a fault in the system.
Exactly. Exactly. So now if we go over, we'll walk through a couple of the diagrams. Here's our partner instance. Here's where we can access the service profile diagram, the logical mapping. We can see any organizations that have been set up. We can see any service profiles that are created inside that organization. Any of the objects that you see can be selected, and we'll pull some detailed information about, for example, as you see here, the mapping of this service profile to its chassis and blade that it's assigned to. You can get health information in this area as well. So any object can be selected upon, and we'll query the XML API for detail. Also on this page, we'll take a look at the hardware inventory view. Here's our hardware inventory diagram, and if you've seen the area in UCS Manager where you can navigate through the hierarchy, I can look at any of my hardware components, my fabric interconnect. In this example, I'm highlighting a power supply that has an error, and I can see inventory information about the power supply. Again, all of this is fed directly from the XML API. It's the same information that you would see if you are looking at it from UCS Manager. I've got an operability states that I can view. You can go inside the chassis where you'd expect to see blades, interface cards on those blades, our power supplies. We'll select one of the blades in the system. And one of the objects that we added is this motherboard object, which we'll go into shortly. But again, here's an example of an interface card. Again, all the same information that is coming directly out of the API. Health information. The motherboard object is interesting. We've added health at the blade level. So this is real time.
It's real time.
So as you click on the object, you'll see a short delay, and it populates. It's actually
so there's it sends an XML API, gets the information back.
Yep, so again, detailed health information about CPUs. On the storage controller, if your blade has local disks, we'll be able to see the local drives, the status of those drives. And when we open up the memory array object just to the left, We've got information all the way down to the individual DIMMs, including their location on the motherboard, again, their operability status. So very detailed hardware inventory that you can drill into. And it's sort of bucketized in the traditional System Center Operation Manager view. And the next piece we'll move over to once we close this out is actually on the alert view for the partner instance. This is my test system, and I actually collect the bad hardware so that I can, to repeat the question, why are all these errors occurring? So this is, again, a great test system that I use for monitoring aspects.
We went in search for the bad hardware just for the demo purposes. So
this is not a typical environment.
If everything is green, there's nothing to show.
Yeah, very true. So here's our alert view. What I'll talk about really briefly are the three severity levels that you have in Operations Manager, and that's critical, warning, and information. We actually have six severities in UCS Manager, and the way that we folded those over is to take UCS critical faults, map them to System Center Operations Manager critical faults. We've got UCS Manager major faults going to System Center Operation Manager warning, and then the remaining faults in UCS as information. We'll open these up, and we should see the fault that we raised earlier. It's a major fault, so that's going to show up under warning. And there I believe we see it, that second item there, Microsoft underscore demo 3. Here's the fault that we raised earlier in UCS Manager. And again, a lot of the same detail extended right from our XML API. The management pack, again, as we mentioned earlier, goes right to the source. So we've got a fault that was raised, looks like about 3 minutes ago. The same information, the fault ID, the fault code, the time that the fault was raised. And what I'm going to highlight here is, and at this point, this fault is unacknowledged. So this is a real fault active in the system.
This is cool. This is the cool thing.
And we have a bidirectional communication using a PowerShell script that's part of our management pack. You can set a fault in System Center Operations Manager to acknowledged by changing the resolution state. And then we'll actually go back to UCS Manager and set that fault as acknowledged.
So a single pane of glass. Instead of going to the two places, you can do through SCOM all this information gathering and acting upon it.
And then also, if we go up to the top-level alert view in System Center Operations Manager, we'll see the faults that we acknowledged should we want to reverse them back to new.
Question. Okay. The question is the management pack is only to get the data and display it, or has a way to fix the stuff. The fixing is not part of the SCOM management pack. It's more of a read-only pane where you get the information and display it. But you can write connectors very simply on top of that using PowerShell integration to take, if you choose to take actions on the alerts. Okay.
Great. So again, here's our list of faults.
There's one other question.
And we're The question is it licensed separately?
Is it licensed separately? Like every Cisco product we sell, it is free. Sorry, I'm kidding. It's free.
Actually, it is free. We're going to talk about the Cisco Developer Network website, which, again, is a location where you can get any of our tools and any of our integrations for download. So that's actually...
There's one other question. Sorry.
Yep.
Great question.
So the question was, once you acknowledge the alert in System Center Operations Manager, it clears from your alert view in System Center, although we still keep a list of the faults that were acknowledged. So you're asking
if it is closed. If it is,
so it does not. It does actually.
Correct.
So.
No, you don't have to do acknowledgement required. When you close it, it gets automatically closed here. Within the next time when you refresh the data, it shows as removed from the from there.
Certainly in UCS Manager, that fault is not going to clear out until the problem that raised the fault is rectified.
Is it rectified?
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. Letting someone that may be looking at it from the UCS manager side know that this is something that's already been looked at and doesn't need any action.
So if it knows the alert in operations manager, let's say it's open in the UCS, will it reopen in operations manager or will you close it for good for that event?
That's a good question. You know, in the interest of time, I'd like to take that one offline if we can, just to make sure that we get through all the content that we have.
Yeah.
So we'll actually jump back into the slides. The next section we're going to talk about is PowerShell.
It's PowerShell, yes. We talked about UCS Manager and how we expose the power through XML API and how we can integrate. SCOM is one instantiation of how we can integrate through XML API. There's multiple ways. In the beginning, we talked about the XML API is agnostic how you're trying to talk to it. So we treat either as a CLI or a GUI, we treat them as first-class citizens. If we say that statement, we need to provide the same treatment to everyone, right? So voila, we have the power tool. It's the most coolest toy, I would say, for the system admins. Let me say what it does. Why PowerShell to begin with, right? Number one, we see PowerShell being accepted in the data centers by the admins for simplifying their tasks when they're going across multiple endpoints, number one. They want to have a way to string them together to achieve the automation much quickly and in an easier way, right? That's number two. Number three, till now, you were able to achieve this automation, being able to manipulate, provisioning, configuration, self-service management. All these things were possible through PowerShell. But when it came to hitting the hardware programmatically, it fell flat because there were no APIs available or no programmatic control or the hardware is not available to the community out there. For a simple example, right? You might think, is that really true? So let me give you one quick example. In a blade, when you buy a blade, it's static. It's, say, for example, it has a NIC with four ports. You live with four ports forever till you replace the blade. If a HBA with two ports, you live with that HBA for forever. There's nothing you can change about it. How about, depending on the workload, physical or virtual, how about if I can dynamically configure this NIC? And for this workload, for this hour, I would like it to be two-port NICs. For the next workload, where I'm running VDI with 100 VDI sessions, I would like to provide 100 NIC ports to the operating system so that my workload, each VM, has direct access to the physical NIC on the same blade. And how can I achieve that in a programmatic way so that I am not, every time I change the workload, I'm going back to drawing board and redoing, rekeying, retooling, reconfiguring everything. We give that power through PowerShell. We give that power through Orchestrator. One. Two, let's take a second example. You have a UCS domain with 180 blades, right? And you created a test dev environment. And you validated it, tested it, and now you want to deploy the same configuration to your production. Would you be sitting there taking notes and writing down every configuration stuff that you did and go replicate manual? There's a good possibility that you make a mistake, so the next step is to go update your resume. Or go through PowerShell with one simple command, replicate the entire state from this domain to the next domain, to the production. Third example, I have two domains with slightly configuration drift among them. I would like to find the differences across these two domains. There may be MAC addresses are different, maybe VLANs are different, or the IDs that I'm using are different, worldwide port names are different, service profile names are different, whatever. But I would like to gather everything and find the diffs and merge the diff with my existing system. Imagine doing that across a domain with 40 chassis with 180 blades. Across three systems, which are geographically apart. To try doing that through GUI. Power tool, one command. And we'll show that in the demo, right? So those are the use cases we've been trying to achieve through Power tool. Those are the things that we want to say, administrator, we'll give you more time back to you so that you can play golf. And it's fully functional, fully supported, good PowerShell design, legal verbs, full pipeline support. We create .NET namespace on top and on the XML API. We have close to 1,400 commandlets today available to you in the library. Again, like Cisco policy, it is free.
You have 1,400 commandlets that basically let you automate any task in UCS. If you can see a task that you'd like to do in the GUI or the CLI, it's automatable using PowerShell. And we're going to show you some tools that allow you to very easily get up to speed and actually use PowerShell right away.
So one UCS domain, 100 UCS domains. It treats the same way. It scales across the domains the same way, right? And how did we do that? Well, Cisco started developing these commandlets close to 100 years ago to create 1,400 commandlets. I'm kidding. This is a joke, right? Good. All right. So we created our UCS XML API generator, auto-generation tool. We feed in XML schema, and voila, we get the commandlets spitted out. Number one. Number two, why is that important to you? Because if you start to depend on Power tool, and Cisco tomorrow releases the next version of UCS Manager, then you'll be picking up the phone and asking, so when do I get my Power tool updated to sync with your latest schema? You don't have to. The day the schema is available, the very next second, your Power tool is up to date with all the commandlets because we started working on it 100 years ago again, right? So,
yep, and most importantly, we're generating these functions consistently. So we're generating using our schema to create what we have in PowerShell. We're using the same concepts to generate our other integrations, System Center Orchestrator and others as well.
Any questions so far?
So you have an integration orchestrator?
We do.
Good question. Right after this. Next.
Yep. So
next
our next two demos are going to be PowerShell and then System Center Orchestrator.
Right. So. Could you repeat the question, please?
Do you have any commandlets that have anything to do with the FIs themselves?
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything you can do through GUI, every object, every API that we expose through XML API, fabric interconnects, blades, chassis, power supplies, everything is available to you. Nothing left.
Was there one more question?
Could you repeat the question, please?
So, standalone servers, remote location, can
you
get into UCS manager now?
Can
I add it
into UCS manager? Okay. I'd be happy to, today, standalone servers, you can build them into the UCS topology, and you get all the same functionality that we're talking about here. Standalone rack mount servers in a remote location, I'd be happy to take that offline, and we can walk through all the, what we have today and certainly what we're planning as well. There is an XML API that's been developed for the rack mount servers that will be evolving, so I'd be happy to go into some details on that with you.
Okay.
Yep. So here are some of the objects and assets.
Yeah, snapshot of what is covered, but I know where the question is coming from. This is only sample that we gave, but everything is covered, right? So under the covers, what's happening? On the left side, what you see is the commandlets, add UCS, get set UCS, get UCS, all the things that you understand if you're familiar with PowerShell, right? And all on this side is the Voodoo language that we use internally, which you don't want to know. So what we did was we mapped this, took this Voodoo language and built .NET namespace on top and created the commandlets that you can understand, simply put. So if you peel onions, that's what you see. If you're familiar with XML API, UCS XML API schema, and the object model, you'll recognize all the things that are out here. If you don't, no worries. It's right there.
So what alerts come out of Box? Besides going into PowerShell,
everything that the UCS engine throws out is available in the management pack. We don't filter anything on the management pack side.
Exactly. It's pulling exactly what you would get from going to the UCS Manager GUI, which is all the faults for a very large selection of hardware. And we're already doing really good work there to categorize faults into the right severities. We're folding that into the severities that we have available in Operations Manager.
Next is demo.
Yeah. So let's jump into our power tool demo.
Again, in the interest of time,
there's a lot of information in here. You know, what I will say for the system administrators that want to use PowerShell, this will be hopefully a great resource. I'm going to go through this quickly, but again, I'm happy to go into any detail you want afterwards, and I'm going to move through this pretty quickly because I'm
and we recorded like only the cool features are the most important ones, but there's a lot more to the power tool. So we can walk you through if you're more interested at the booth.
Great. So at the beginning here, we're going to import the module manually. We actually have an icon that will launch and import automatically for you. We're going to import it manually here so that we can show the get module command afterwards and verify that the module has been imported. And the next command, we'll take a look at, we'll use get command and take a look at how many commandlets are available in this module. And again, greater than 1,400 commandlets. We're currently at 1,477. We may actually be a little bit higher with the very latest release that's out there. One point I'll make is out of that 1,400, over 1,400 of those are automatically generated by the schema processor that we talked about earlier. There's about 50 or so special commands that we put in, some of which we'll cover here, to do things like backup, synchronizing objects between systems, comparing objects between systems. We're going to use get UCS commandlet meta. This is a great command for taking a look at what verbs are available to manipulate the options, the objects in the system.
For example, you may know there is a server object, but you may not know what operations can I do. Either get available, set available on this, without going through the entire list. The simple way. So it's like we built help for help.
Yeah. And again, everything you're seeing so far, we haven't even logged into a live system yet. So this is all just information available in the module itself that you can use. So initially, we looked at a get UCS commandlet meta against a UCS service profile. But towards the bottom here, this is probably a little more complex look here. A UCS boot policy, we're using the dash tree option at the end of commandlet meta and taking a look at the entire hierarchy of related objects. So a boot policy itself is what defines the boot order for a blade, whether I'm booting from local disk, USB, virtual media, and such. I can actually see all those objects in their relation with this tree output, so certainly a very useful command.
So we're giving you a way to peek inside UCS XML design without actually knowing XML.
We're going to log into a UCS system using connect-UCS. There's our session information. Now from that session information, we'll query a little bit of information. You can look at, you know, certainly the name of the UCS system you logged into, the IP address that you connected to, your credentials as your user, version of UCS. Now, this next command is extremely useful. So convert to UCS commandlet.
Yes.
Dash GUI.
Let's do a quick, let's pause here. Why did we do that? So this is, first of all, this is the, I would say, the engineering minds come up with this great innovation. So we came out with the power tool, and in the last 6 months, we've been getting these questions back from the field, saying that I know how to do this in GUI. I know how to create a service profile. I know how to bring the blade up to speed using UCS Manager. I want to replicate for the next 100 blades. I don't want to go through GUI to do the same thing. I would like to create a script in PowerShell to mimic the same steps I did so far. What is the way for me to figure out what commandlets, what options, what to do? Help me. I don't want to go through the help pages for all 1,400 commandlets. And Jason started typing the replies, emails, over and over again, right? Day and night. Then after he said, look, I'm going to quit. Then we said, engineering said, okay, we'll help you out. We'll give you one commandlet. Use the commandlet and to spy on your GUI actions. Any GUI, for example, UCS Manager GUI, take the GUI and do your normal whatever you're trying to do. Use the commandlet. Commandlet will look at, listen to it, and at the end will give you a neatly packaged script with all the commandlets in the order with the required parameters in one batch. Go, cut and paste, and you're ready to roll.
So as you see here, we kick that command off. Now we're going to go back into UCS Manager and create a VLAN, a simple task, a VLAN called testing 123 with a VLAN ID of 123. And if we go back to PowerShell, we see outputted to the screen the exact commands with the options that are required to create that VLAN.
It's a simple task. Create one VLAN, one command. It gives you the required command. Not only that, we took it one step further. I don't want to do it in real time. I did this session in GUI a while ago, and I have the GUI log, what I did. Can you parse that log and come up with the commandlet? And we do that too. How cool is that?
Very useful. Thank you. Yeah. We're going to do.
Sure, sure.
It's monitoring the GUI log of the session on this local machine.
On the session. That session.
Right. Yep.
So let's kick it up a notch and say let's do something complex and see how this behaves.
Yep. So now we're going to create a boot policy. And you know, earlier we talked about the more complex objects in the system. A boot policy contains many child objects as well, and there's a relationship between them. So we're creating a boot policy called test boot POL. And if we go back and look at the output in PowerShell, here's a UCS transaction. And what's happening here is these are the PowerShell commands to queue all the commands that are needed locally. And at the end, where you see complete UCS transaction, this transaction is sent to the XML API as one transaction, basically. This is not a set of commands with where you may have to do any type of rollback. If anything is wrong in this transaction, the whole transaction does not go through. So UCS is going to take a look at that incoming XML document.
So the design of UCS takes care of that for you. In the sense, it is all or nothing. So when you start a transaction and a complete transaction, if something is not right in the middle, there is nothing like you need to go back and clean up after what we did. It's always taken care of for you. The whole thing goes as one set or nothing goes as in. Clear?
So here's the command again to create a boot policy. Now we're going to create a service profile. Make a few options. This will be a fairly standard service profile with just a few options. But again, the output you get is in the form of a UCS transaction, and it's actually numbered according to the tasks that you went through in order to kick this off. They're numbered accordingly within the transaction. And again, as Chakri said, it's all or nothing. The UCS XML API is going to watch that transaction coming in, verify everything, and it's committed one time.
And the benefit here is, imagine, you can do these things, create these wonderful scripts in the back end in minutes, and show to your boss, like as if you're working on this for the last 1 week. Hey, I'll take that.
Great. So the next command we're going to run here is to add a UCS VLAN. So earlier we got the output from the VLAN that we created in the GUI. Now we're going to run a get UCS LAN cloud to get one of the parameters that we need to create a VLAN. And as you see here, we're about to create a VLAN called Bob with an ID of 222. Here's that VLAN created in the GUI. What you'll notice with PowerShell, its execution is very quick as well, very responsive.
There is one quick question. Can we pause?
Yes.
Yes.
Was there a question?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
We don't treat anything. Both are same for us. The question is, does this work on UCS emulator? The answer is resounding
yes.
It's no difference for us.
And we're going to hit an emulator for some of this and live systems as well, a mix of the two. Now we're going to start a UCS transaction from the command line. And rather than creating just one VLAN, we're going to create a whole set of VLANs. In this example, we're taking a sequence of numbers, pipelining them in, and creating 10 VLANs. And again, a great example of the need for an automation tool.
Right.
I don't think anyone would want to create 10 or 50 or 100 VLANs on one system, or maybe even several UCS systems. So certainly this is a great use case for using automation. We're going to run complete UCS transaction. You saw the PowerShell output on the screen, and now here are our 10 VLANs in UCS.
And at this point, if you're logged into 10 UCS domains and wanted to do the same exact configuration replicated, we'll do in parallel. It fires the same command to all the domains in parallel. It's not serial. So they'll be all done at the same time.
And great, and then certainly to that point, we've been running commands on just a single UCS instance called machine up till now. In fact, the PowerShell configuration by default supports just a single UCS domain. But we're going to use a PowerShell configuration option to turn off the safety, if you will, and allow us to log into multiple systems. We're running a set power tool configuration, the support multiple default UCS option to one or true. That's now enabled. And now we're going to log into a couple more systems. Now earlier you saw me connect to a system. It popped up a GUI. I had to manually type in credentials. We're actually going to call these two additional UCS systems from a file, from an XML file on the local machine. You see that the passwords are encrypted, and I just am querying, or I should say calling that XML file with a password on the file in order to log into n number of UCS systems.
So this is truly for those who doesn't want to see a GUI screen when I'm on PowerShell. How can I log into 100 of or 10 UCS domains without actually looking at the login screen? This is the way to do it.
Yep. So now you see the session information for the two additional UCS systems, and they're named UCS 6120 HA and SA.
How are you with us so far? Are we meeting your needs so far? Is it right level of content for you? Good. Thanks.
Great. So now we're logged into three UCS systems. They're all stored in the default UCS connection handle. And now we'll run some commands against all three systems and show some of the more advanced commands that we've created. Here's a get UCS blade to look at blades that exist on all three of these UCS systems. We'll take a look at service profiles that exist on all three of these systems. Now let's take a look at VLANs that exist, again, across all three systems. And what you'll see in this output are the VLANs that we created on the machine UCS system. A lot of these VLANs do not exist on the two new UCS systems that we added.
So now we are getting the use case that we talked about. How can I make sure that my configuration is in sync? How can I see some differences? How can I merge with other domain?
Maybe I've installed a brand new UCS pod. Maybe it's in a remote location.
Right.
And I want to have some of the same settings.
Let's see how it is done now.
Yep. So we're going to run a command to take the session information for the two new UCS systems that we added and use compare UCS manage object to compare the objects on the two new systems versus the objects on the original system where we created the VLANs. And we're looking specifically at the VLAN objects. So this compare UCS manage object is really showing us a diff between the query. So you see on the left-hand side, the VLANs Bob and VLAN 100 through 110, they exist only on machine today. These are the VLANs that are missing on the two new UCS domains.
There itself, you saved maybe a couple of hours of time just trying to figure out what differences are in one simple command.
A great use case for an automated tool. You want to do that, you know, accurately for one, and certainly in as an automated fashion as possible. Now we're going to modify the command that we ran to sync UCSMO, or actually initiate the syncing of the missing objects to the two new UCS systems. And
so
notice at the bottom we're using the what if flag. This is going to say, basically provide us a list of what would happen should we go ahead and execute that command.
You're not sure. Should I update my resume or look at the output and then decide? The what if is that.
Yep, and here you see, again, we're going to create these new VLANs on the 6120 HA system and the 6120 SA system. And then
and
the last option here
works on every command.
Yep. So. Yep, in this case, we're just doing it against VLAN objects, but we'll show you a little more complex take on this shortly here. Now we're going to modify the what if and actually execute this task.
Jason is confident.
With
he says,
Dash
okay,
Force.
Let's do it.
My resume is updated.
Updated.
I'm ready to go.
Ready to go.
So there's the objects being synchronized from machine over to 6120 HA and SA.
How cool is that?
Yep. And now we're going to actually run the compare one more time. And rather than seeing an output showing us a difference, this should drop and give us no output, as you see here, showing that these three systems are truly in sync.
Like that?
Yes. Yep, very useful. I mean, for folks that are managing multiple UCS domains, are going to be a very useful tool. So we look forward to folks downloading that and providing us some feedback. So now we'll do something a little more complex. We're going to take a look at this last query here is to show the VLANs existing across all three domains, as you see. 6120 HA, SA, and machine now have a consistent set of VLANs. we'll take a look at the boot policy. So this is a query for the boot policy that exists on the domain. We're looking specifically for test boot pol. And if you remember previously, we made this only on the machine domain, the very first domain we logged into. How would we get a complex object like a boot policy with a hierarchy, with sort of parent-child relationship objects from one system to another? We can apply the same concepts that you saw earlier with VLANs. We're going to do a compare between the machine instance and the two instances that we added after that using the compare UCSMO command, and again, passing it the appropriate query, focusing specifically on boot policy.
So it's not a single object, but we see, take the parent and all the children behind it, move it as a single unit,
and
as a
pipeline whole. That through. Now here's our diff showing that the boot policy is missing on 6120 HA and SA. Similar to what we ran before, here's our what if. What could I do to synchronize that over? What would actually be run should I choose to execute? And here's our output. We would be creating, again, that boot policy and its associated child objects on each system. And then lastly here, pulling the trigger, removing the what if, going to force, so that we don't have to approve each task that's going to get run. And we'll sort some of the output so we can see this boot policy again being created on both systems. And as we did earlier, the query for,
see if there any diffs
for the compare.
After that, we shouldn't see
we're running
anything.
The compare again. We have no output. We know they're in sync. And I believe lastly, we'll go ahead and we'll query for that boot policy across all three domains. And we should see that boot policy in place on machine 6120 SA and 6120 HA. So very, again, a very powerful command. Trying to do something like this within the GUI on each of the three systems would take you a long time, but you can imagine doing this across a farm of UCS domains, certainly a very powerful tool and a great way to bring up a new domain and make sure that you have consistent policies with what you've already deployed.
And it's all achievable because we give that programmatic control over your elements, your physical elements.
Great. So we're
quickly.
One more task here, and that's the backup. So we've switched gears. We're actually logged into three live systems in this example. We're going to run a backup UCS commandlet. This is, again, another custom commandlet that we made. We're going to execute a config-all against three live systems and output the file in the format that you see on the screen.
So as an admin, you're trying to back up the UCS configurations across multiple systems. Instead of going into each one, just do one command, and it downloads and saves the backup. The same thing can be done when you're trying to update the firmware. So, for example, you need to download from Cisco.com the latest packs, right? We have the support in PowerTool today that automatically goes and downloads the right version of the firmware into the domain.
You can actually query CCO for firmware that lives up there, download the bundles in an automated fashion to your local system, and literally a one-liner to push all those bundles to one or many UCS systems. A very nice convenience. So again, here's the backup executing in parallel across those three systems. A very quick execution. We've got our output from the command, and then lastly, we'll see the three files in the specified file system.
Done.
So that's it for PowerShell.
Okay, quick. We have coming up on
left.
A few minutes left. So we will go through the orchestration. Right? There was a question: how do we support? Is there an integration pack for systems 2012? The answer is yes. And we went through the same exact steps, what we did for commandlet generation. We take the schema, generated the activities. It's not based on the PowerShell. It's a native first-class integration to create the integration pack for Orchestrator, right? Gives you, why do we use Orchestrator? Well, number one, we want to string multiple action items from different tools into a single workflow. Say you want to configure storage, you want to configure compute, and then you want to configure network elements into one big workflow for managing your infrastructure. You need integration packs from all the elements available to you, and this fills that gap, right? Number two, what do you get from Cisco integration pack. Number one, out of the box, you get all the actions that are available, or similar to commandlets that you have seen in the PowerShell, similar thing is exposed in the orchestrator integration pack as well. And we went ahead and we'll be including simple workflows, the most commonly used workflows that you use on UCS, they will be available to you as runbooks in integration pack as well.
Greater than 1,400 activities. Sounds familiar. Again, these are also generated in automated fashion.
And we'll be consolidating in the GA pack.
But again, any discrete action that you need to automate in UCS can happen.
Let's roll to the demo. That's more interesting than looking at slides.
Great. So here's our System Center Orchestrator page. And we've got our list of...
How many of you, by the way, use Orchestrator today in your environments? Great. Excellent. Close to a third.
So we've got, as we mentioned earlier, over 1,400 UCS activities available. Again, anything that you need to orchestrate in UCS, all the discrete activities are there to make that happen. So there's three sample runbooks that we're going to run through today in the Orchestrator just to show this, and that's creating a backup, creating a single VLAN, and then creating multiple VLANs. Some pretty common tasks. We're passing through some data that we're going to use at the beginning. For the backup, we're passing through the location where we want the backup file to be stored, the backup type. We're passing the connection information, i.e. the IP address, the credentials for the system. And we'll go over here and run through the runbook tester on this backup UCS. Runbook. Here's our path and folder where ultimately our backup file is going to go. So once we execute the runbook, here are the two pieces of data we need at the beginning. Again, the folder where we want the output file to be and the type of backup.
Once you've seen the power tool, it's nothing eye-popping here, because you expect that to happen the same way.
Again, here's our tasks running, and ultimately our XML full configuration for a UCS pod. Probably a pretty common set of orchestration that you need to do on a regular basis. So we'll move over to single VLAN. These, again, are pretty basic steps. We're feeding in two pieces of information when we run this workflow, the VLAN name, the VLAN ID. We're connecting to a UCS domain with a set of credentials. We're getting the distinguished name for UCS LAN cloud, which is actually needed when you create a VLAN. You see that all the three pieces of information being passed through to the add UCS VLAN activity. And then at the end, we're disconnecting. So we'll execute against this runbook with a name for the VLAN, a VLAN ID, and then we'll actually take a look at the UCS system that we're running this against and watch that VLAN populate while the runbook is running.
Just as a validation, we are popping back into UCS GUI to make sure the VLAN is actually being created, that we are not giving you.
There's our activity running in the background, and there's our VLAN MS-test 200. Now, the last workflow is a little more interesting. There's more steps, and it's also a transaction. So we're going to create a set of VLANs, I believe 10 VLANs in this example. We're going to queue them up as a transaction and then make the transaction into UCS one time. So the information we're feeding in this case is a starting VLAN number, and I believe the quantity of VLANs that we want to create. We're going to certainly connect to a UCS system, the same system that we're also monitoring in this window here. Here's our start UCS transaction. You know, some of the same commands to get UCS LAN cloud to get a requirement that we need for add VLAN, queue up our transaction, and then execute the transaction. So our starting VLAN ID of 201, and in this case, I want 10 VLANs. It's a very simple .NET script listed in here for this demo. So what we'll see when we kick this off in the log file are the individual add UCS VLANs being run, as you see here. Each iteration there is queuing up the transaction. There's add UCS VLAN, again, executing. And one of the last steps I want to stop on is right there. So we've completed the UCS transaction. On the right-hand side, you still don't see the new VLANs, but once this transaction executes, there's our 10 VLANs populating at once in the UCS system.
UCS system. Okay. That's the last demo. So and everything that you have seen so far, let me pop back to So one important URL I would like to present. Power tool and the management packs will be available for you to download from the Cisco Developer Network. The great page, we maintain the page, and you can send us feedback on the integration pack, management packs, and power tool. This is a question, yes. I think the slides are already available to you on the, we uploaded a while ago to the MMS website. So,
and I think all the content for all the content. Sessions you know, will be available for download after the show.
Some of them have shown up.
Okay. Okay.
The videos actually will be in the recorded content.
Yeah.
Yep, and these I'm happy to, I could probably share these at this point. We may clean them up a little bit, but certainly if these are of interest, you'll have these in the content that you download after the show.
There's a question there.
Yeah, so as far as your Cisco support site, can it accept orchestrated put commands to load tickets, possibly? Like, tie all together with SCOM and all that, you can add a SCOM alert.
Right. Right.
So that pick up a ticket or a flow?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. We
could go into some detail on that. There's actually a facility called Smart Call Home that's built into UCS as well that sends health information out. I could go through some of that with you as well.
Okay.
And I think that's the exact nature behind that. But certainly,
when
you have the ability to orchestrate, I think the sky's the limit in terms of what you create. So.
Well, that's you asked me a loaded question, but I'll try to answer it. The answer is yes and no. SCO is the advanced version. The reason being, we have control over the development here. We don't have control on the other side. So. And the vBlock, for all practical purposes, vBlock is like a separate entity. It's a different product, right? So the components that go into are not controlled by Cisco directly. So it's a vBlock is from VCE, and VCE decides what goes in there.
There's an orchestration
level there.
That's orchestrating against UCS, against storage and networking and such as part of that as part of that system. Yes. Yes.
Yes, we are working on it. Because that's a good question, it's a question we are hearing more and more now, in the sense once they start using UCS, the power tool, the very logical question we are getting is, the question is, can we have the same capability on Nexus switches? And we heard that question multiple times, and we're going to do something about it because I'm sick and tired of hearing the same question.
Keep it coming. Yes.
Could you repeat the question?
What about, so he was more asking more towards
like, yes, yeah. So when we say Nexus switches, yeah, we're looking at 1010, N1KV, 5K, 7K. So there's a big the portfolio. So that's all under consideration. So it's not.
If we got an idea, is there any plan in the future to
Here is an expert who can ask that one question. The question is, is there a way to rename service profiles? He's Roger Anderson. He's the technical guru on Cisco UCS.
The next version of UCS Manage, you will be able to rename service profiles.
Okay.
A good one to take offline.
You want to clone the policies rather than rename them. You need an hierarchical policy resolution built into UCS Manager.
Good question. Yep. Is there a question here?
In the UCS Manager, you have the ability to copy. When do you get it? You can have the ability to actually
do things. Within the
GUI.
Could you repeat the question, please?
And I think the question is, when will we have the ability to copy and paste objects in the GUI? That might be a good one to take offline as well, but we'll have to discuss that.
So, any other? There's a question. Excellent.
Is there a difference between the 2012 version and the 2007 version?
Of the management packs? Yeah, there is no, first of all, there is no orchestrator integration pack for 2007. This is new. DSCOM, yes. DSCOM, yes, definitely. There are... we are going to provide more information in the graphical topology of what we are doing, and you will also have ability to actually right click on an alert and change the alert level from, say, for example, it is informational, but for your particular case you want to be at a warning, so you should be able to go and change the alert levels of individual alerts, things like that. So
yes. It runs until you kill it. So it's monitoring your GUI log.
Yep.
Yes, you can control C and drop back to a prompt.
Yeah.
Yep. Just run it for the time that you need it. Yes.
Two questions. How about SCCM? Do you guys have inventory properties exposed for that tool?
At this point, we don't have any plans to come up with a plugin for SCCM. The reason was we thought we'll go through the orchestrator as the route to get to UCS, then actual SCCM, number one. And number two, we are looking at SCVMM as the main data center vehicle for us as a Hyper-V host provisioning tool, rather than looking at the endpoint or the laptops and desktop provisioning. We're not in that, right? So we're looking at SCVMM as the provisioning tool in 2012 because it already has the bare metal provisioning capability built into SCVMM in 2012.
Yeah, for VMs,
for physical. It can do physical too.
Yeah, so I have a demo at the booth that where I call UCSM and I bare metal provision and configure VMM 2012. If you want to take a look at that demo, we can show you the bare metal treatment.
Yep.
I had a second question.
Sure. No, the answer is no. We have the integration pack we're building 2012 onwards. We're not going back on that.
Management pack
is already there. The SCOM management pack is available for 2007, and we'll continue supporting the 2007 management pack for a while, and we'll be the 2012 management pack will be available as well.
It was actually acknowledged.
It's acknowledged, not close.
Yeah.
So there's a difference. Yes.
Yep. So we set the acknowledge flag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if some results fall down, like the power supply,
automatically, yes. Yes. Correct.
Exactly.
That's correct.
And that management pack is going out and querying, you know, via the XML API, and you'll see the same exact faults that were raised in UCSM located in Operations Manager with the ability to take some action and acknowledge if desired.
Yes, it goes away automatically here. Correct. Yeah.
Correct. It'll update and clear out.
Yes.
Yes.
For anybody who has shirts that they didn't like the size on, go to our booth and you can swap.
And you can swap them to your
side. I don't have mediums left, so.
Thanks, Chris. Any questions? Please. Yes.
A lot of the press has kind of danced around this, but between operations manager and orchestrator, is there anything, is it, sounds like they can see and do anything that the UCS manager can do.
Correct.
Or is there, are there features in UCS manager, additional features, things that you need to accept?
No.
No, that's one thing that's nice about the architecture as a whole.
It's
100%.
Yes. It's a single API, and it's single, open, and
when we,
you know,
said,
we encourage the...
When we said single pane of glass, it, we expose everything to XML API. We are true to that word. Everything is exposed to XML API. Good. Please fill out session feedbacks on your way out. Appreciate for your time. Yeah. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for letting us go late.
Thank you.
Thank you.